Welcome to Emotional Empowerment, a podcast for emotionally sensitive or struggling people who are open to learning how to use your emotions as a spiritual practice. Hi, I'm Michelle Bursell, and I've taught therapists, coaches, and people around the world how to use their negative feelings to heal their life, and in doing so, eliminated their struggle with anxiety, depression, anger, guilt, and more. Ready to turn your negative feelings into your greatest allies? Then let's start your emotional empowerment journey right now. Hello, everyone. It's Michelle Bursell, and I would like to welcome you to episode number 29, Using Emotional Empowerment in Trying Times, How Your Emotions Are Here to Support You. I am so excited to be with you, to be back with you, and I want to thank you so much for all the times that you have tuned in to the Emotional Empowerment Podcast. I have taken a break, as you've probably seen, from doing podcasts. I really want to make sure that whatever I'm sharing with you is something that can support you. I certainly don't want to add extra noise into your life, and I'm really waiting for those times when I am called to share and speak to you. And because of the current conditions that we are in, we are facing this pandemic together. We are experiencing self-quarantine and fear that this felt like an important time to reach out to you and to really help you in utilizing your emotions from a place of empowerment and love. And it can be challenging to do. I certainly don't want to come across that my emotions don't ever express themselves in a disempowered state. They are. You know, it's part of our human experience. And when you really understand how our emotions are part of our subconscious programming, those reactions are going to come out at times. And at the same time, we have a great opportunity to start to work with our feelings so that we can feel better and so that empowerment and love wins within us. And I don't think there's anything more important than that right now, given the circumstances that we only have a certain degree of control around, and a large part of it we don't have any control over. And so we're going to be speaking to that in terms of the feelings that may be coming up for you. And you know me, I like to share how these feelings are coming up in my life. I'd like to use my life as an example because I think it's important to be able to relate this process in ways that I'm continuing to integrate this practice in my life. A quick note, I did send out to my community an exercise or a tool that I have had for years that I've shared previously before, but I've shared it again. It's called Clear Your Fear Exercise. It's a 10-step process. It's something that I came back to and worked with recently. So if you do have a lot of fear about anything in particular, feel free to join my list so that you can get these extra tools and be able to apply them in your life. And so if you go onto my page, iiee.training/podcast, you should see a button there that you can click on to say email me, and you will stay up to date with things. So if you are like many people right now, you probably have the gamut of fear, anxiety, anger, frustration, sadness, and certainly as an emotionally sensitive person, I've experienced them all as well. So I'd like to guide you about each of these feelings, how they've shown up, and how I am addressing them from a place of empowerment and the shifts that they have allowed me to make. And hopefully this will resonate for you. So I'm going to start with sadness. And I think our reaction to what is happening in the world is this sense of sadness. Sadness that life as we've known it has changed, and that people are suffering or dying or struggling, and that there are sacrifices being made personally and professionally, and the sadness that comes with that. As we tap in, and that's what I'm inviting you to do, is to tap into each of your emotions. Because remember, if we're fighting them, that creates an internal resistance within us, and it builds up and it becomes something that weighs on us and is exhausting. So I always invite people to go into these emotions, and they're not as scary when you understand the empowered signal that's going on. So as I went into my sadness about everything that's happening, how people are suffering, I really allowed myself to be in communion with the world as best as I could. And that alone, I think, is a gift, because if we think of how often, you know, we're kind of hustling and bustling and doing our own thing, to be in communion with others and to have compassion for what they are going through, empathy for where they are at and their circumstances, and what is going on in our world, I think there's a gift to that. I think with this sadness, there's just also this sense of the sadness in having a lack of choice or lack of control, and really being able to see that for what it is. You see, the empowered version of our sadness is always guiding us to say, hey, if we are awoken with sadness, I don't mean literally woken up like from bed. I mean, like you're experiencing sadness. It's awakening you to say, hey, I'm sad. It's because we're either mourning a loss of something, or our perception of something is causing us to mourn. So take that in. It's either because we're mourning the loss of something, or our perception is having us mourn. And oftentimes with sadness, there's a combination of both. So yes, there is a real mourning. And for some people, it's larger than others, right? And so we get to grieve our losses. At the same time, it's an opportunity to look at our sadness and say, where are my perceptions about this not completely accurate? Because when our perceptions get tied into fear, our perceptions are going to go on the spectrum of lack. And there's an opportunity here to see that whenever there's lack, it's still on this same spectrum of abundance. And so where is the abundance, right? So there's a lack in certain things, but there's an abundance of perhaps more family time, more time to be out in nature, more time to connect to yourself, your inner wisdom, to meditate. And where do we want to put our focus? So there is value to grieving, because as we grieve what was, I think it's guiding us to what is next. If we keep this balance between being able to see the full spectrum, yes, there's loss, and yes, there's something to gain. If we're too stuck in the loss, we're not going to be able to see what there is to gain. Now, some people say, Michelle, that's all well and good, but I am losing money right now. And I know that is so challenging. And so I do want to honor that and say there is a realness to grieve. And at the same time, there is a realness that in this moment, you are okay. And that's where I turn to Eckhart Tolle's teachings that say when we're in our present moment, we really are okay. And it's that future thinking that we don't have control over, that if we allow that to take over, will disempower us. So that's the balance and the opportunity. And it's like, what I always say to people is, if we go too far into sadness about our perceptions, especially about our perceptions of something that isn't even true yet, how is that serving you? You know, do we want to use our imagination in a way that is working against us? or do we want to be in the present moment and receive what there is to receive in this moment? And I promise you, when we come from that abundant state, we tend to attract more of that into our lives. Now, hey, I'm human. I get it. So if you need to grieve, grieve. Just remember the other side of the equation, that there is abundance in this present moment, and how can we find it? That's our work. That's our calling. So let's move on to another feeling, anger. Anger is likely going to come up because anger is signaling to us when we feel disempowered, when we feel like we don't have power. And there is a lot happening that's making us feel like we don't have power. The way we have run our lives is now changing, and it's feeling that that can be unfair or unreasonable. And so we can have this sense of disempowerment, but it's not true. So during this process, as I've been self-quarantining and my family has, and my children have, it's hard on them. And I get that. The problem was my kids started to feel like it was just hard on them. And because of that perception, they were taking out their frustrations, their anger at how their lives have changed, especially on me. I was trying to establish some routine, some schedule, and started to receive pushback from one of my kids. And I understand it. It's like, how do I go from this normal life over here in high school and getting to be with my friends and having my phone and all these freedoms, and now it seems like I don't have any? So yes, there was a part of me understanding that my kids are frustrated, that they're angry. And at the same time, there was this taking it out on me that my anger started to stir up that said, this is not okay. So I will be honest with you. When my anger first came out, it was reactionary. I started yelling. It wasn't pretty. And thankfully, it didn't last long either, because we're using these signals to say, hey, wait a minute. Where am I feeling powerless in this? So yes, I reacted. And at the same time, I recalled how my anger is there to signal to me I was feeling powerless. I was feeling powerless that all this was being aimed at me from my kids when I have other work pressures and other pressures and making sure we have enough food and all these other pressures going on. The empowered reaction clearly is not to yell back at my kid. It is to set a boundary. And it's to create some communication here that, yes, while I am understanding that this is impacting your life, please be clear, it's also impacting mine and your dad's and us as a family. And I'm here to listen if something doesn't feel fair. And you can say to me, hey, mom, that is not my first choice, but I don't want to be bumping heads on everything, because we need to see and be able to communicate what works for us, but also what works for us as a whole. And, you know, I mean, it's a teenage thing. Believe me, when I was a teenager, my mind was all focused on me and my life and my world. So I get it. And yet my anger was there to calmly remind them that, yes, absolutely, this is happening to your world and mine and the world around us. And so please work with me. And yes, you can still communicate to me when things are not working for you, but the way you do that matters. And through having that conversation, there was greater understanding and boundaries that needed to take place. So our empowered anger is there to say to ourselves, this is where I'm feeling disempowered, but there's always an opportunity to step in to what true power means. I think our reactionary anger is always to try to power over. Again, that's where I went with my kid when he was giving me business. I gave it to him back. I started yelling back. And then I was like, whoa, I need to settle down for a moment because that is not my true power and that's not what loving power is. So how can I approach this from true power? And that's through bridging this misunderstanding with each other to understanding and then creating healthy boundaries. So that was anger. You can also see this as frustration. Frustration and anger tend to be tied together a lot because once we get frustrated, it can build up to this place of anger where we feel disempowered. Frustration is often a signal for us that the way we are going about doing things needs to change. And if we don't do it, it leads to anger. So knowing that, when I was feeling frustrated that a part of all this parenting seemed to be going onto my shoulders more than my spouse, it felt like 95% was on my shoulders and not my spouse, I was recognizing my own frustration with that. And also that I needed to have a conversation with my husband to say, you know, this is where I'm feeling frustrated and how it would be beneficial if you could step in specific ways when you're not working from home to support me with managing the kids. It's like this whole new thing that we've got to address again when we did when they were younger and now we haven't had to this level. And so it was important to have that conversation about how we can think about things differently. Frustration is usually, you know, we're thinking about things too narrowly or we're not thinking of things expansively. So it's signaling that to us. And part of my story was me trying to take things on while my husband was working from home and really understanding that we're both trying to work from home and how we can do this in a way that feels a bit more balanced. Lastly, I want to talk about anxiety. Anxiety from an empowered approach is always about trusting ourselves and life. So, did I feel anxious about going to the grocery store, getting food and supplies for my family, making sure that my family is safe? Absolutely. So how do we address this from an empowered place? What we have to recognize is, and if you are emotionally sensitive, you're going to feel this more. Like I would feel very grounded in my home, but when I went out because I did have to, you know, get groceries or whatever, I could feel just being in my car, not even entering the store yet, people's anxiety. And that's how some of us are. We can feel it. And so A, it's important to discern, like, is this my fear that I'm feeling or other people's? And for us to feel it, there often is a component of our own fear that is real. So I had to look at that because anxiety is saying, trust in yourself to show up how you can show up for yourself given these circumstances. That's the empowered signal of our anxiety. Trust the things you do have control over and show up for yourself in that way. And at the same time, if I'm feeling anxious about the things I cannot control, for instance, how long this virus is going to be around, how long it's going to impact our lives, then I am not putting my trust in the higher good. My trust is in fear. And that's never going to feel good. We're going to feel like we're spinning. So here's what I do to get to what is true for me and what is just anxiety and fear. And so in the disempowered form, right? Think of this just like the sadness. Like there was parts of the sadness that was true. We really got to grieve. And yet there are parts of the sadness that were disempowering. It's the same here. There's parts to the anxiety that are saying, hey, you need to show up for yourself and your family. So make sure you've got enough food and you've got enough supplies and what have you. And it was really important for me to do this in a conscious way where I wasn't hoarding, because hoarding is an energy that comes from fear. And so how can I do this where I can realistically look at, okay, this is what I see us using for this week and next week and da-da-da. And I can plan that out in a way that's not being fear-based. And that was really hard for me because how do we know? But see, this is where exactly our anxiety is leading us. Our empowered anxiety is saying, trust you, trust yourself. And so this has taken a lot of grounding exercises every day for decades. I rub my feet with a grounding oil, and where I envision roots from my feet going down into the earth so that I know that I am safe as I walk my path. So this is my everyday, what I've been doing for years, because I was a person that struggled for a long time with anxiety. Now it's just my what I do in my daily life to walk this earth with trust for myself and for life itself. When times like these are upon us, we got to do more grounding. I've always been a tree hugger. I'm hugging trees more. I've always loved nature. I am loving nature more. I'm trying to be in nature more. I'm trying to meditate more. All these things, we have to be compassionate with ourselves that there are these external pieces going on that can shake us, that can worry us. And then when we are in that grounded place, what am I being asked to do so that I can show up for myself and my family and the world how you need me to show up? That's the question I ask to the universe, to God, to show me the way. And from that place, I make those decisions where I feel like, hey, I'm making solid decisions without this fear, hoarding, rushing, where it's balanced, that I can show up and support without showing up and creating a negative impact towards my neighbor, towards my community, towards the world. And that, I think, is part of this whole self-quarantine. You know, I'm feeling fine. I'm feeling great. My kids are feeling fine. My husband's feeling fine. But how does that, might that impact others that we interact with, right? So our anxiety, again, is how can we trust ourselves, show up for ourselves in a way that is from love and empowerment and not fear? And certainly, it is not from empowerment and love if we are spinning in what ifs. So tune into yourself. And if you don't know how, this is the time to learn it. This is the time that we've been given. How do I tune into myself? And there's so many great teachers out there to guide you with that. I'm always looking for more ways to do that. So that's part of the process of learning greater self-trust, because it's really about having self-authority given these challenging times. How can I stay steady? How can I stay peaceful? How can I stay present and clear? Because you tell me, if you're in that state versus, you know, what ifs and fear and all the bad that could happen, which state is expansive and which state is contracted? And how do you perform when you're in a contracted state? Because when I'm in a contracted state, like I feel like I have a lack of time and I'm trying to rush out the door, I forget my keys, I spill my coffee, I am, you know, driving too fast. It's like, you know, we're not at our best when we're in that contracted state. So how can I make it my job right now to be grounded and find myself through this? And believe it or not, your anxiety is trying to help you get there. Your anxiety is that signal to say, hey, is there something I need to pay attention to? And what I do have control over, my state of peace, do I have enough food? Do I have enough supplies in a reasonable way? And your essence, your inner wisdom, your knowingness will know what's reasonable for you. And what I mean by that is just hope that it's not that hoarding energy. When I see those guys that aren't able to sell all the hand sanitizer they bought, I don't feel bad for them, right? It's like that was hoarding and then they were trying to make a profit off it and now they can't. You know, that's not great energy to be putting out there. So that's where our anxiety is leading us. I hope this helps you. I know there are emotions coming up. And again, don't expect yourself, your family, to respond from a place of empowerment all the time. We are being challenged in new ways. There's different stressors on us, and they are going to help us grow. There is going to be something powerful that comes through this situation. And I'm hopeful and excited to what that can be. I'm also grateful for all that we have in the present moment. If you have a tree or grass or something of nature, the sky, the moon, the sun to look at, let's be grateful for that. And grateful that your emotions are always supporting you to make these course corrections, to find your true sense of power that lives within you, in your highest knowing, and in your heart. May you stay healthy. May you know that you are love and loved in this world. And I look forward to continuing to stay in touch as we navigate so much newness in our life and yet can come back to our truth and our wisdom to guide us to grow as we are meant to. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for remaining connected, and I look forward to connecting next time. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Emotional Empowerment Podcast. If you've enjoyed the program, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes to help us spread the message about how to use your emotions as a tool for spiritual and personal growth. To receive free training and emotional empowerment, visit www.iiee.training. That's www.iiee.training.